My alarm clock blared at 6 a.m. as it usually did. I normally went on a run before eating breakfast, but as I went to snooze the alarm off, a notification popped up. 12 missed calls from an unfamiliar number. Who could this be? I thought. Curious to know, I left my wife snoring away in the bed and made my way to the conservatory where no one could hear. I called the number back. The line rang for a few seconds until someone hastily picked up.
Hello.
A man spoke in a posh British accent. Hey, I received a few missed calls from this number last night.
Oh, right. You must be Mr. McCarthy.
Speaking. Can I please ask why you called me so many times during the night?
I was given your number from a former colleague of yours, Colonel Hansen. We have a situation that requires your expertise.
Hansen. I sighed. The man was my commanding officer when I worked for the SDF, a private military company that fought supernatural creatures. Yes, I knew him quite well, but the nature of our work was highly classified, and thus I don't think I can be of any help to you.
He said you were our best shot at dealing with this situation.
You keep going on about this situation. Care to explain what exactly it is?
A few hours ago, the bodies of 5 teenagers were found in the woods with deep bite marks in their necks, sucked bone dry of blood. We called the SDF, as is protocol to deal with a situation like this. We were notified that their units are currently spread out rather thinly and couldn't deal with the situation presently. Colonel Hansen gave me your contact number and said you have excellent expertise dealing with the creature that was responsible for the attack.
Damn it. I retired from that field years ago. I'm not really looking to get back into it. I have a family and 2 kids to look after now.
You'll be handsomely rewarded, considerably more than what they paid you at the SDF. Besides, we'll only contact you when your skills are needed. You'll be a subcontractor with the full freedom to work as you wish. If you do a good job on this mission, there'll be more work for you.
So, what's the pay like? I asked without sounding greedy. I really needed the cash to pay my mortgage, and I was a few payments behind. Having been unemployed for the last 6 months has been hard. This opportunity could potentially help me get out of my debt crisis.
For this mission, $5,000.
You've got to be kidding. I'm going to put my life on the line for a lousy $5,000. Make it 10 and you have a deal. I negotiated, without sounding too snarky.
Please, Mr. McCarthy. You have to understand that we're not made out of money.
Listen, I cut him off. If you want a proper job done, then it's going to cost you money. I need to pay for weapons, ammo, and put my life on the line. The SDF had procedures and backups in place in case the mission went south. This was going to be me working on my own. If anything went wrong, it was my life on the line.
You drive a hard bargain.
The man sighed.
All right, 10 it is. I'll send you an email with the contact and non-disclosure agreement. Please read it, sign it, and send it back before my men pick you up at 10 a.m.
All right, but please make sure nobody touches the bodies. Makes my job harder than it already is without the CSI pricks trampling over everything.
Understood. I'll let you prepare for the mission.
The man finished before hanging up the phone. I quickly went down into the basement and began unpacking my equipment that had been in storage for the last few years. A thick layer of dust covered the chest which contained my armory. It took an hour to get everything all cleaned up. I changed into it and walked towards my gun cabinet. I tapped in the code before it unlocked with a click. I pulled out my fully automatic FN SCAR H and attached it to my bulletproof vest before doing the same with my Colt's M1911. I filled my ammo pouches with multiple magazines of silver titanium bullets for both weapons and made my way upstairs. My wife caught me in the uniform and stared at me with her mouth wide open. I knew what she was thinking. I had promised her I wouldn't fight monsters anymore, but people's lives were at stake, and I was the only one with the skills to deal with it. I received a call this morning. They want me to work a contract, I said, knowing quite well what she was going to say next. I thought you were done with that life. She frowned as her blood began to boil and her skin turned a rosy red. She hated seeing me in the uniform. The thought of me leaving to never return probably lingered in her mind. I am. This is different. It's a contract. When it's done, I get paid 10 grand and come straight home. People's lives are in danger. Without me, more people will die. Come on. We need the money to pay the bills, otherwise we'll be without a home. I pleaded. She sighed before nodding, giving me the okay. But I knew she wasn't happy deep inside. She quietly made me breakfast before we all ate. I logged into my emails and signed both the contract and the NDA. I spent the rest of my time with my wife and children until the clock struck 10 a.m. The sound of a large diesel engine hummed outside. That was my cue to go outside. But before I did, I hugged and kissed them all goodbye. Two men dressed in black suits greeted me at the door and motioned me into the large blacked-out SUV before setting off towards the scene. Once I arrived, a police officer greeted me at the cordoned-off area.
"Mr. McCarthy, I've been awaiting your arrival," he said before lifting the yellow strip and allowing me to pass. "They weren't messing around when they said they were sending in a professional," he said, staring at my gun.
I just nodded and walked towards the scene, where I noticed the lifeless, deformed bodies of the teenagers. I sure could have used that fancy SDF equipment to examine the murder scene, but I was on my own, so I conducted it the good old-fashioned way. First body, young male in his teens, sucked completely dry of blood. Skin shriveled up like a raisin. Bite marks in the neck where the blood was extracted. Deep claw marks on the body pierced all the way through to the bone. No organs were extracted. Large footprints near the body. I checked the other bodies and made sure there was nothing else that was missed. All evidence led me to believe that it was only their blood the creature was after. Could be anything. Vampire, ghoul, bloodphages, Baoban, Rokurokubi, the list goes on. The large footprints in the dirt don't give me much to work with, as they have been trampled over a few times by the boots of the police officers. The attack was conducted in a fast and efficient manner, as there was no sign of struggle. Upon further inspection of the surrounding fauna and trees, I discovered a trail that led further into the forest. I approached the police officer to explain the situation.
"Hey, mate, so, you find anything?"
he asked. "Yeah, I've done my investigation on the bodies. You can do your CSI thing. There's a trail that leads further into the forest. I'm gonna check it out."
"All right, I'll get my men to take care of the bodies. Also, before you go, I was asked to give you this PDA and this headset so you can keep in contact with the boss."
The PDA came with a wrist mount and a wiring harness that led all the way to my ear.
"It should already have his frequency saved in the radio."
Once it was set, I followed the path for what seemed like hours until I reached a small clearing in the forest, when I heard a deep growl and hid behind a small bush to observe the clearing. The broad silhouettes of the creature gnawing on a dismembered limb, chomping away through squishy flesh and crunching bones. I cocked my battle rifle and switched the safety off. The creature stopped in its tracks and looked around. Damn it, it must have heard that. Getting old and rusty could cost me my life. It ran towards me. Before I could let a round off, it leapt on top of me and began pounding my chest. Each blow felt like a cannonball smashing into my chest. The only thing that had kept me alive was my armor, Kevlar reinforced with hardened titanium plates. Whilst the creature pummeled my ribcage, I reached for my sidearm and aimed it up and let off a few shots. Blood spewed from its chest, raining down upon me, and a stream down its face where a bullet had kissed its cheek. The creature leapt off me and violently growled in a fit of rage as the silver reacted with its blood. the best.
Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds. With that kind of money, you could go big time on a fancy water bottle with ultra titanium alloy metal. You're not sure why you need all that. I mean, it just holds water. But you're getting it anyway. Because if you're hiking near an active volcano and you accidentally drop the bottle into molten lava, your water will still be icy cold. Switch to Progressive and you could save big time. For water bottles. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, not available in all states. Potential savings will vary.
The way I can describe its effects is that it burns through its skin like a highly concentrated acid. Taking my one and only opportunity, I raised my rifle and aimed for its head before blowing its brains out all over the dirty grass. My ribcage felt as though it was about to collapse in on itself as crimson streams began to spill from where the armor was compromised. I checked my PDA and called the only radio frequency that was saved.
McCarthy,
the posh British man called out. I coughed up a mouthful of blood.
It's dealt with, although it got me pretty bad. I'm bleeding out and won't be able to make it.
Hold on, I got your GPS coordinates. I'm sending an air ambulance to your location now.
He finished as I hit the ground like a rock. My vision began to blur before slowly I nearly lost consciousness. I noticed that everything loomed, and darkness began to blanket the forest. A growl emanated in the distance. There's more of them. My hand trembled as I reached for my medkit. After a few failed attempts, I finally got it out and placed it on my chest as I laid on my back. I pricked the syringe deep into my leg and let it loose into my system, numbing the pain enough so I could move. I had 20 minutes to hold out before it came into full effect. With every little ounce of strength that remained within me, I managed to drag my almost lifeless body to the foot of a nearby tree and rested my back upon its coarse skin. I spent the next 5 minutes fighting the pain away as the morphine did its thing. The sky had darkened to the point it became impossible to see further than 10 meters, the shadows of the trees only adding to my disadvantage. Without any sort of night vision gear, this situation had gone from being bad to worse. Just my bad luck. But I was determined to get out of this alive. In the distance, I heard the humming of a helicopter as it flew into audible range. The rustling of trees and fauna caught my attention as multiple footsteps closed in. With my sight still blurred, I aimed my rifle through the space between the trees where 6 dark silhouettes emerged through the fingertips of bushes. Their attention was fixated on the deceased body of their kin before suddenly turning towards me with anger in their gleaming amber eyes. All 6 of these creatures were larger and looked more intimidating than the one I had killed earlier. I couldn't see much in the dark, so it's difficult for me to explain what they looked like. Without hesitation, I flicked the rifle into fully automatic and squeezed the trigger. Silver rained down upon their swift movements as they neared. Most of my shots missed their mark. Within a few seconds, only 2 had not met their end. I realized no more bullets were being fired from my rifle. My magazine had run dry. By the time I was reloading, I would have most likely met my end, so I went for the pistol, only to realize I had dropped it in the struggle with the first one.
Shit!
I screamed, seconds before they exacted their revenge. I closed my eyes and took a final breath of air and prepared to meet my end. The sound of 2 high-caliber shots ripped through the air. I squinted my eyes open to the sight of the creatures crashing into the dirt next to my boots with giant gaping holes through their heads. I had been saved just in the nick of time. If they had arrived just a second later, I would have been in the morgue come morning. I sighed in relief as I discovered the helicopter hovering above my head, the barrel of a sniper rifle sticking out the side. My radio crackled with a tone. I clicked a button on the PDA to accept the call.
McCarthy, you all right down there?
The voice of the British guy asked.
Could be better. I sighed, nearly out of breath. Just get your people down here before I bleed out.
The medics patched me up before rushing me to the nearest military hospital, where they conducted some tests. The battle with the creatures had left me with heavy bruising, 3 broken ribs, and a nice scar where one of the metal plates in my armor had lodged itself in my belly. The doctors advised me to take it easy for a few months and discharged me. I called an Uber and made my way back home. Once I arrived, I noticed a black SUV waiting for me in the driveway. A man in a black suit asked me to get in. Once inside, I noticed a man sitting in the other rear passenger seat.
"Glad you made it, Mr. McCarthy. Would have been a shame to lose you so early on."
It was the same man I had been in contact with over the phone.
"Yeah, me too.
So, I finally get to meet you in the flesh." I smirked. "The doctors told me to take it easy for a while, so don't expect me to be in action anytime soon."
"I know," he said, passing me a thick envelope.
"$10,000 as promised. But before I let you go, there's something I need to tell you."
"Yeah? What is it?" I asked, curious to know more.
"We retrieved the bodies of the creatures and sent them back to the SDF for analysis. The research team conducted some tests on their bodies, as they didn't match anything they had on their records.
There was evidence that their DNA markers had been tampered with."
"Wait, so what you're trying to say is that they were created by something?" I was dumbfounded at the idea that some sick asshole actually went out of his way to make these bloodthirsty creatures.
"Exactly.
Someone genetically spliced the DNA of multiple creatures and modified it to be far superior than what you would normally encounter."
"For God's sake, that means there could be more attacks. That dick's still out there."
I nodded my head in disapproval. More people's lives would be at stake if this person kept creating more monsters.
"Yeah, you get yourself back in shape. I'll be in contact with you in the coming months."
"All right. Thanks for the prompt payment." I waved him goodbye as the SUV made its way out of the estate. I made my way to the door and opened it with my key. My children jumped on me just as I entered, feeling a sharp pain in my ribs.
"Take it easy, kiddos. I'm not feeling too good," I said, gritting my teeth, holding back the pain.
I hugged and kissed my wife, passing her the large envelope of cash. She snatched it out of my hands before I could react. It was the only way to keep her from flipping her shit. Well, at least we had enough money to pay off our debt. My wife made me a nice warm meal before I hit the bed to recover. A month had passed, and I began to freely move around without feeling the pain of my injuries. I decided to join the gym and get fit once more. I also started practicing at the shooting range, knowing full well my specialist skills would be needed in the future. I just couldn't believe the stupidity of some people. Why would they want to make the world a more dangerous place by creating dangerous monsters? Assholes. A few months had passed, we were running out of cash, and times were becoming difficult again. I was about to hit the deck late in the evening, as I usually did, when my phone rang. As I went to answer, I recognized the number right off the bat. It was that posh British guy again.
"Hello,"
I asked, moving into the conservatory.
"It's me again. We have a situation. You ready to be picked up?"
He stumbled his words in a rush, as if something big had gone down. I couldn't contain my excitement.
"Count on me."
"Now, I know what you guys are going to say, but fighting these monsters gives me a buzz. The SUV is now parked outside, ready to pick me up. Once I get back, I'll be sure to keep you all updated." The SUV took me to a farmhouse after a 2-hour journey. Once there, the men in the black suits told me to head on inside. As I approached the door, I noticed that other vehicles sat upon the grassy patch before the fields of corn began. I entered the building only to be greeted by the British guy who had been waiting for my arrival.
"Glad you got here in a good time. The others are waiting."
"Others?" I asked.
"Yeah,
You're going to need backup where you're going. He sighed before taking me into a large room where two men and a woman sat around a large wooden table. Jessica Stone, the sniper who had saved me from a horrific demise at the hands of the creatures in the forest, greeted me with a nod. I had met her once before whilst working at the SDF. She was working with the Ranger unit on a top-secret mission that I wasn't a part of. From what I knew of her, she was very skilled in her marksmanship.
Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds. With that kind of money, you could go big time on a fancy water bottle with ultra-titanium alloy metal. You're not sure why you need all that. I mean, it just holds water. But you're getting it anyway. Because if you're hiking near an active volcano and you accidentally drop the bottle into molten lava, your water will still be icy cold. Switch to Progressive and you could save big time for water bottles. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates, not available in all states. Potential savings will vary.
The other two were new to me. A young-looking man who looked like he was a Special Forces operative. The other, a middle-aged African-American guy who was built like a tank. I sat in one of the vacant seats and waited for the British guy to begin his mission briefing. Right, all of you are here. Some of you have met before, but for those who haven't, you'll have plenty of time to greet each other later. You're probably wondering why I've gathered you here on such short notice, so I'll get to the point. A few months ago, we discovered that someone was genetically engineering creatures. We don't know the reason, nor do we know their motives. The SDF has conducted a thorough investigation and concluded that samples from various creatures had gone missing around the same time that one of their research staff had left the agency. We finally have the coordinates of his lab. Your job is to secure it and gather any intel on where he could be. A transport helicopter will arrive to take you there in 15. Any questions? Yeah. I put my hand up. My armor was heavily damaged last time. I could also do with some better weapons. The SDF has given us 4 of their Mark II Ranger suits. They've been custom-built to your specifications, along with some of their state-of-the-art weaponry. If you'll all follow me to the other room. He finished before leading us to the room next door. As I entered the room behind the others, I noticed 4 suits resting upon armor stands. We all got changed into the suits and instantly noticed they were lighter and more comfortable than all the current variations of body armor. The helmets covered our full faces and had a large curved visor which displayed a heads-up display along with settings for night and thermal vision. I had heard of these suits, but never seen them in the flesh. All the SDF Rangers wore these suits now as standard. Across the room was a large glass weapons case filled to the brim with rifles, attachments, and ammunition. I picked out a modified Mark 17 with a red dot scope, a better grip, and a small grenade launcher. I noticed a familiar pistol, the M1911, and took it along with ammunition for my weapons. Jessica picked the Barrett XM109, I guess it was a better choice for a slender body than the 50 cal, due to less kickback. Brian Anthony, the big tank, picked out a Benelli M3 Super 90, along with a few boxes of ammunition. Carl Walker, the Spec Ops guy, chose to go with an MK16, similar to the Mark 17, except it used 5.56 rounds rather than a 7.62. According to him, he preferred accuracy and a larger magazine over firepower. The 4 of us had moved outside as an MV-22 Osprey prepared to land in the large space in front of the farmhouse. We all got aboard before setting off.
I heard you served in the SDF.
Carl inquired after pressing a button on his helmet to switch his comms on.
Yeah, I left a few years back. Sorry, I don't know much about you guys except for Jessica.
I replied.
I was in the Navy SEALs for 5 years before leaving last summer. That British guy called me and asked if I was up for a mission. I was itching for some action, so I decided to take him up on his offer. That big guy over there is Brian. We both were in the same unit back in the Navy. He's a decent guy, although can be quiet sometimes. He'll be all right once he gets to know the two of you. And by the way, who's the girl? That's Jessica. Saved my ass a few months ago whilst I was on a mission. Awesome. Do you know how long till we get there? No idea. I hope we get there soon. I need a piss.
I jokingly laughed. An hour had passed, and we finally arrived in an old concrete complex surrounded by nothing but endless woodland. The helicopter hovered above a clearing big enough to land before dropping down to the ground. We all jumped out, weapons drawn, surveying our surroundings before clearing the Osprey for takeoff. Everyone switched their radios on before we'd advanced upon the entrance of the structure. A large bulkhead door prevented us from entering. Carl removed the fascia plate on the intercom and began to fiddle with the wires until a click behind the wall sounded. Brian opened the door, aiming his shotgun into the darkness that landed before us, leading us in. After the light from the entrance faded, we switched to night vision. A long hallway took us to a larger chamber where multiple computers and screens were smashed up, littering the floor. The place was a complete mess, as if everyone had just left in a hurry.
"Whoever was here left in a hurry and destroyed their equipment," Carl said.
"Yeah, unless something went wrong with their experiments. Keep your eyes peeled and weapons at the ready," I said, turning to face another open door that leads deeper. We entered and discovered 5 lifeless bodies of research staff that had been torn limb from limb, covered in puddles of dried, crusty, decayed blood. The disgusting aroma that filled the air was 100 times worse than the horrific sights before us. I observed the bodies closely, trying to figure out what we were dealing with. That was when a loud screech emanated from one of the connecting rooms, followed by a plethora of growls, howls, and unnatural sounds.
"Shit, we got company. Ready your weapons, aim for the heads, and keep your distance," I warned the others, as the bloodthirsty creatures closed in on our position.
I switched my weapon into the burst fire setting, and waited for the enemy to appear. The silhouettes of deformed creatures emerged from the dark depths of the corridor. Jessica fired her rifle. The first wave of creatures hit the cold concrete floor, covered with chunks of brain.
"I need to reload,"
she stated after emptying her magazine and moved a few steps back. A dozen more trudged through the lifeless bodies of their friends towards us. I stepped forward along with Carl and let loose a shower of silver bullets.
"Brian, you stay back until we need to reload, then cover us with the shotgun."
"All right,"
Brian agreed, stepping to the side to wait for his turn. After about a minute or so, our magazines had run dry. We moved a few steps back and reloaded whilst Brian pummeled them with silver buckshot. Once his 7 shells had been spent, Carl and I got back to work. In the distance, I noticed the outline of a skinny female. Her long dark hair covered her torso, and her shriveled up skin looked like the scales of a lizard. Her long, stretched out arms, along with razor-sharp talons at her fingertips, resembled spears.
"Keep your distance. That siren scream is powerful enough to pop your eardrums out of existence."
We all took a few steps back.
"Let me have a shot at her head,"
Jessica stated before aiming her rifle at the siren's head and squeezing the trigger. Before the bullet could hit her, the siren screamed, launching a powerful shockwave in our direction, knocking us all back off our feet onto the hard concrete floor. The silver bullet had ricocheted off the shockwave and hit the wall behind us. Now, I've killed a few sirens back when I was a ranger in the SDF, but I've never faced one this powerful. The immense power of that attack caused cracks to appear in the face of the reinforced walls and small chunks to hit the ground from the ceiling. Whoever had created this creature knew exactly what they were doing. A deafening silence filled my ears before I slowly regained my composure and sat up, aiming my rifle at the siren. It edged closer. My other teammates were still knocked out. Using the already weakened ceiling to my advantage, I loaded a 40mm grenade into my launcher and aimed the shots at the weakest point. Once the siren was directly under, I squeezed the trigger. The explosion sent large chunks of the ceiling, along with steel rods, down upon the petite body of the abomination, squashing it like a pancake.
What the fuck was that?
Carl asked, getting up. And that was unlike any siren I've ever encountered. It was so powerful it knocked us a few feet back. We're lucky we were wearing these helmets, otherwise we'd be dead. I replied, keeping my aim on the rubble in case any other creatures appeared.
That shockwave nearly sent all of us out of existence.
Brian laughed, wiping away the dust off his suit before reloading more shells into his shotgun.
You all right, Jessica?
I asked, but received no reply. I went over to her after motioning the two others to keep an eye on the rubble.
Hey, Jessica, are you all right?
I nearly shouted.
I can't hear you. What are you saying?
She asked with a raised voice, removing her helmet.
Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds. With that kind of money, you could go big time on a fancy water bottle with ultra-titanium alloy metal. You're not sure why you need all that. I mean, it just holds water. But you're getting it anyway. Because if you're hiking near an active volcano and you accidentally drop the bottle into molten lava, your water will still be icy cold. Switch to Progressive and you could save big time. For water bottles. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates not available in all states. Potential savings will vary.
Christ, I yelled. Your ears are bleeding. I said I can't hear you,
she repeated. I motioned to her ears and she touched the blood before staring at her crimson hand.
For fuck's sake,
she screamed, wiping the blood away with a small tissue. I clicked the screen on my wrist-mounted PDA and hailed the British guy's frequency.
Hello.
The British guy called out.
We just engaged a group of creatures. Among them was an extremely powerful siren. Jessica got caught in the shockwave and needs medical assistance ASAP.
All right. I'll send a medical extraction team to you within the hour. Have you gathered any intel on the enemy?
He asked. Not as of yet. We're currently observing the siren in case she makes a comeback. Never know exactly what these people have messed around with. We can't take our chances. We'll radio back once we've conducted a thorough investigation.
All right, stay safe. I'll call you once the medical evacuation team's in the air.
He finished before the line went dead. The next half an hour was spent walking around the complex in search of any information we could find. We discovered a large lab where the embryos of the creatures were being incubated, along with a facility for splicing DNA.
This is disgusting,
Carl snarled. Whoever's behind this obviously has a lot of money to finance an operation such as this, I replied, as I noticed a small dot in the corner of the ceiling. Look over there. CCTV. Someone's watching us. Carl and Brian turned to take a look at the camera.
There must still be power in this facility. If we find a fuse box, I might be able to get power back on to the lights and computers.
Brian started looking around for wires and cables that could lead us there. Let's split up. Brian and Carl, you guys try to get the power back online. Me and Jessica will try to find some more intel on what's going on. The others agreed to my plan, and we went to complete our objectives.
What's going on?
Jessica asked, still deaf. I typed a message on the PDA and sent it to her. I motioned to her to check her PDA. She read it and agreed. It had been about 20 minutes until the light switched back on. At about the same time, I had found a room containing a multitude of servers.
Carl, you there?
I asked over the radio.
Yeah, is the power back on?
Positive. We've found a server room. I'm assuming this is where they keep all their data. It's a lot larger than I thought it would be for a complex this size.
All right. We're heading back to you now.
Carl finished. It took them about 10 minutes to reach the room. Carl booted the main computer of the servers up and began scouring the hard drives for information. He called the British guy from his PDA and began explaining what he saw.
It looks like this facility's a lot bigger than we initially thought. We're on the first level. There are 3 more levels, getting bigger as you go down. There's more to this place than we initially thought,
he said, when suddenly lines of code began to appear on the screen. Shit, someone's hacking the server. I'm gonna begin transferring data over to you before they delete it all. He plugged in a small USB to his PDA and began to wirelessly transfer. Only half the data was transferred before everything was deleted. That's all I could transfer. Carl frowned at the screen.
I'll send it to the SDF to investigate. The evac should be there in the next 5 minutes.
The British guy said, when all the lights turned off. What's going on? I asked.
It looks as though the building's going into lockdown mode.
Damn it. We're not going to be able to get out of here, are we? I asked, looking at the screen where I saw the word lockdown initiated. Carl typed endless lines of code into the computer. If I can hack the system, I can maybe fool it into lifting the lockdown. His efforts were useless apart from the unlocking of a door. It led deeper into the facility. Damn it. He punched the computer screen in anger, causing a crack to appear. There might be a second way out in the lower levels, I suggested. Yeah, but we don't have a clue what's down there, he sighed. So what do you want us to do? He asked over the radio.
Investigate the lower levels while I sort something out from my end.
He finished, before leaving us in the dark. We doubled back to the door where we entered the building to check if it was open, since Carl had hacked the intercom. It was locked shut. The lockdown must close all doors via the electronically controlled system they used. So, with no other option, we made our way to the staircase leading to the lower levels, where an electronically controlled bulkhead stood a few inches open. Keep your gun at the ready. We don't know what's in there, I warned the others. Carl stayed back with Jessica and explained the situation with a few gestures before we advanced further into the bowels of the mysterious complex. The lower levels were considerably larger than the section that was above ground level. Rows of labs littered the corridors, vacant of any living souls. Tables and chairs had been thrown about, and most of the equipment had been smashed up beyond repair.
Well, this place looks worse than what we saw upstairs, Carl stated.
Yeah, I think whatever they were experimenting on must have escaped, causing a site-wide evacuation, I replied, glancing around.
There's no corpses or any sign of struggle except all this big mess, which means either they all escaped, or something even more bizarre happened here, Brian said, before something caught his attention. Look over there, he pointed out, a doorway.
We all turned to take a look, with Jessica understanding the situation moments later. A set of double doors led us to a section of the level where a multitude of high-security labs rested. Large, bomb-proof glass panels protected us from a variety of bloodthirsty creatures behind them, each in their own locked cells. At the sight of us, they began hurling themselves toward the glass, bashing it with their malformed fists, leaving disgusting stains of slime and blood upon its surface. Some even bashed their heads in order to break through. Their efforts were all in vain, as the reinforced prison they were in did an exceptional job at holding them back.
Christ, Carl stated. So these are the creatures they were creating.
Yeah, I replied. It looks like a group of them had been in the chambers together and left to fight each other to the death. I added, pointing to the mess of corpses on the floor.
Survival of the fittest, Brian added. These people were creating super monsters. Let's look around and see if there's a kill switch. Surely they must have one as a security measure.
A good idea, I replied. We looked around for some time, but there was no kill switch. It was as if these cells were just designed for one purpose, to create the strongest monsters in existence. We found a small locked office in the far end of the room where a security card was needed to proceed further.
The only way we get through there is with the security card, Carl said. I can try hacking it, but it won't be any good with the lockdown in place. Might trigger a complete shutdown. Could result in all the creatures being let out.
All right. I agreed. Let's split up and look around for a key card that can get us in. These scientists left in a hurry, so let's assume they left their stuff behind. Keep your radios online. Carl, you go with Jessica since she's having hearing issues. If you find something, radio back.
Everyone agreed to the plan, and we set out to look for the keycard. After a tedious hour of scavenging every last nook and cranny of the level, I finally received word from Carl that he and Jessica had found a keycard in the ladies' restroom. It had been left in a handbag, presumably belonging to one of the doctors who had worked in this facility. We all met back up at the door and crossed our fingers it would work. The lock clicked once the card touched the screen.
Abracadabra, baby.
Carl grinned.
We're in.
Inside the small room, there was a desk along with a heap of paperwork and a laptop. Carl disconnected it from the network and began searching the hard drive for any information related to the experiments that were being conducted. What we found shocked all of us to our bones. We discovered blueprints for a biological weapon designed to mutate and override normal brain function, which would result in normal people being transformed into the hideous creatures that were locked up in the laboratory's cell. We also discovered that all the creatures in the cells were human at one point and were subjected to the bioweapon for testing purposes.
Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds. With that kind of money, you could go big time on a fancy water bottle with ultra-titanium alloy metal. You're not sure why you need all that. I mean, it just holds water. But you're getting it anyway. Because if you're hiking near an active volcano and you accidentally drop the bottle into molten lava, your water will still be icy cold. Switch to Progressive and you could save big time for water bottles. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates, not available in all states. Potential savings will vary.
I don't know about the others, but that just made me sick to my stomach. Disgusting. They were normal people at one point. I snarled. That's just unbelievable. Let me transfer this data back to base. I can't look at this anymore.
Carl frowned, connecting his PDA to the computer before transferring the files. Jessica walked a few steps back before turning around to vomit. Brian looked as though he were about to do the same. I don't blame them. The contents of my breakfast were also about to make a comeback. Once the files had successfully been transferred, an error message popped up on screen. Unauthorized file transfer detected. Initiate Protocol Alpha.
Christ, what's Protocol Alpha?
Carl said. Seconds before we heard a multitude of locking mechanisms click open.
The lab doors just opened. Weapons at the ready. Don't take any chances. Aim for the heads and conserve your ammo.
I shouted, aiming my rifle down the long hallway, where the monstrosities began to flood in with a furious hunger. They moved faster and more precise than any other creature I had ever seen. Some even dodged our bullets with ease. Brian moved forward with his shotgun and unloaded a heap of shells, which did absolutely nothing to some of them. I loaded another grenade into my launcher and let it loose at a group of creatures. Some fell upon the tiled floor, but the others began to regenerate and continued on their pilgrimage for our blood. Out of 20, only 4 creatures remained when they reached the door. Now, these were a giant pain in our asses. Kept dodging whatever we threw at them. I couldn't afford to use another grenade in such a short distance, as it would only lead to doing more damage to ourselves. The creatures leapt on top of us, using their arms and hands as batons to beat us down. We all ended up on the floor, as the struggle became close quarters. It was 4 of us versus 4 genetically modified monsters. With all of my strength, I had managed to grab hold of the creature's neck and kept it away from biting a chunk of my helmet off. On a number of occasions, it had managed to dig its teeth through the reinforced visor and crack it, leaving streams of disgusting brown saliva. I had no choice but to hold it back with one hand and to go for my pistol. When I finally managed to grab hold of it, I shoved the barrel of the gun down its throat and pressed the trigger, before the lifeless body of the creature fell upon me. I jumped to my feet and shot the brains of the others, painting the walls in a layer of crimson.
Christ, I would have been dead if it wasn't for you.
Carl sighed. Brian looked completely like he'd lost it and didn't say a word, except for the weird shivering and heavy breathing. Jessica cried her eyes out after chucking her saliva-filled helmet away to the side.
We need to get out of here.
I sighed. If the scientists manage to get out, then we sure as hell can as well. We quickly treated our injuries and reloaded our weapons. We were beginning to run low on ammunition. Only God knows what else this place has in store for us. I just wanted to get out of here, and I'm 100% sure the others were of like mind. I helped Jessica and the others get cleaned up. We sorted our helmets out before I pressed the button on the PDA and called HQ.
HQ, do you copy? Over.
This is HQ, loud and clear. What's the situation?
The British guy replied. These guys were creating a bioweapon capable of mutating normal human beings into creatures, then locking them up with each other to find the strongest. I recommend immediate extraction and to level this place to smithereens. We can't afford to let this bioweapon get out in the open, I explained. Something this dangerous had the potential to single-handedly cause the mass extinction of mankind. The British guy went quiet for a moment before replying.
Request for airstrikes pending. I'll get back to you as soon as I can once there's an update. And meanwhile, the SDF have been tirelessly working to decrypt the information you sent to us. They discovered a secret train line that leads to a bunker a few miles away. I think that's your best bet out of there.
We're running low on ammo. I don't think we'll have anything left if we encounter more waves of creatures, I explained, checking the few magazines I had left.
Getting to that tunnel is your best chance of getting out of there. I'll get back to you once the airstrike's been approved.
The British guy finished with a sincere tone.
Great. There's two more levels of this before we can get to the train line, Carl said, clearly looking frustrated at the whole situation.
Yeah, I sighed, but it's our only chance of getting out of here before they level the place.
Okay, we've got no choice but to go deeper. Let's get it over and done with,
Brian added, before we all made our way out of the office. We spent another 20 minutes looking around for a way to the lower level when we found a set of stairs leading down. We discovered another control room where a multitude of computers and screens displaying CCTV images of the entire complex presented itself. The power was still online here, and it looked as though someone had left in a hurry moments before. A still warm cup of coffee rested upon the desk along with a journal. I picked up the journal and began to scan through it when Brian noticed something on the screens.
Someone's been watching our every move, Brian pointed out.
There were live feeds of the top two levels where we had just come from.
Look there,
he nearly shouted, pointing at one of the feeds.
There's someone there.
There was a man in full lab uniform running to what looked like another set of stairs leading down.
I bet that's the asshole that's been messing with us this whole time, Carl stated. We need to follow him.
I forced the journal into one of my pockets.
You're right. Maybe we can get some answers from him. Let's move.
We rushed along the path that led to the man and made our way down to the final level down below. The door had been left open. Once there, we found ourselves in a large lab covered on both sides with large concrete walls and a multitude of floodlights. Iron bulkhead doors surrounded us on all four sides in the face of the structure. The figure of a man in the far end caught our attention. We rushed all the way down there with our weapons drawn.
Hey!
Carl shouted, pointing his rifle at the man's head.
Turn around, now!
By that point, we all had our weapons pointed at the man. Once he turned, we noticed an empty syringe injected into his arm. A malicious laugh escaped his mouth.
It's too late. I've already injected myself.
With what? I asked, hoping that it wasn't the bioweapon.
This is the culmination of years of advanced research, and now it is in me.
I have created the ultimate bioweapon the world has ever seen.
He laughed once more. Cut the bullshit. What happened here? I shouted, cutting him off.
You killed my children, and now you have the nerve to ask me what happened. In a few moments, you'll all be dead anyway, and the world will truly know what it's like to live in fear. So, I might as well tell you before you die. I spent years working as a geneticist for the SDF. After years of working my hands to the bone, I was dismissed for experimenting on gene splicing. It was then I decided that I would carry on my work here for people who appreciated my work. I perfected my formula and created these magnificent, loyal creatures that follow my every orders.
You sick bastard. What have you done? I asked.
The only reply I received was another malicious laugh. That was when dark veins began to appear on his face, and his skin began to morph. His body began to increase in size until he was at least 8 feet tall. Rough scales began to form around his entire body, and a devilish red aura radiated from his eyes.
Screw this,
Carl said, unloading half a magazine into the creature's face. It was no use, as the bullets just bounced off the rock-hard skin that still morphed.
Everyone, get back to a safe distance. I have no idea what this bastard's capable of.
I warned the others when the situation went from being bad to worse. The doors surrounding us all clicked open, and hordes of humanoid creatures began pouring in like a river of ferocity.
Damn it, we're surrounded,
Brian stated, as we all huddled up back to back before letting our trigger fingers loose.
Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds. With that kind of money, you could go big time on a fancy water bottle with ultra-titanium alloy metal. You're not sure why you need all that. I mean, it just holds water. But you're getting it anyway. Because if you're hiking near an active volcano and you accidentally drop the bottle into molten lava, your water will still be icy cold. Switch to Progressive and you could save big time. For water bottles. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates not available in all states. Potential savings will vary.
The radio crackled with the British guy's voice.
You have 20 minutes till the U.S. Air Force drops a heap of bombs on the building. Get your asses out of there,
he said.
We're currently engaged with an army of these guys. We found the scientist behind this whole mess. He injected himself with a more advanced version of the bioweapon. Our bullets have no effect on him.
I finished as the hordes of creatures kept pouring out.
You have 20 minutes to get out of there,
the British guy shouted before the line went dead. We held the creatures back for what seemed like ages. Our rifles had run out of ammo, which resulted in us using our sidearms. We need to make our way out to the tunnel, I shouted. If we carry on fighting like this, we'll only end up dead. The others agreed, and we began fighting our way to the mouth of the tunnel. The giant creature followed us, but due to its larger size, it was considerably slower than the smaller ones. I shot my grenade launcher into the hordes of enemies that were bunched up before I only had one final one left. Carl and Brian had used all their grenades. I kept the last one in case we needed to use it on the large creature. We made our way to the door that led us on to the train tracks and locked it shut moments before the horde began bashing the door. The tram that was here once was no longer here. We made our way along when suddenly a large explosion shook the ground like an earthquake. They had destroyed a section of the wall. The scientist had destroyed a section of the wall and made its way along the train tracks towards us with its little minions following along. I loaded my final grenade into the launcher and shot the ceiling of the tracks above the creature, before a hail of concrete, dirt, and gravel lodged itself in the tunnel, blocking all access. We ran along to the tracks with only moments before the airstrike was due. Completely out of breath, I nearly fell to the ground once we were in the bunker at the other end. Brian kicked the locked door down before we ran outside into the wilderness of the forest. A loud, thunderous sound emanated above our heads, followed by the small outlines of a squadron of B-2 stealth bombers. We ran further into the forest in order to avoid any bombs that could have deviated from their flight path before the entire complex was engulfed in massive balls of fire, followed by the rumbling of the earth beneath us. We had barely made it out alive.
"Christ, that was a close one,"
Carl shouted, hiding behind the large trunk of a thick tree, as were all of us.
"I can't believe we made it out of this one alive."
I laughed. That was when we noticed heavy footsteps in the distance. We all turned to face the large creature making its way towards us.
"I'm all out,"
Brian shouted. We were all in the same situation, with only a handful of pistol rounds to our name. It wouldn't be enough to take the son of a bitch down. I called HQ as we turned to run.
"HQ, are you there?"
"What's your status, McCarthy?"
"The B-2's decimated the place, but that big one's still alive. We're out of ammo and need assistance right away,"
I said, before we began running deeper into the woods. We spent what seemed ages running through the dense woodland until help arrived. Two AH-64 Apache attack helicopters hovered above us. They couldn't successfully target the giant beast through the spines of the dense trees and kept their distance to avoid any projectiles that it might launch towards them. A similar tactic the SDF would employ when fighting creatures of this magnitude. The radio cracked.
"McCarthy, this is Flight Lieutenant Torres. Do you copy?"
The frustrated voice of a man erupted.
"Loud and clear,"
I replied, nearly out of breath. The running had taken its toll on our bodies. We were slowing down, almost to a point where the creature had caught up with us. The ground trembled with more force as it approached.
"I can't get a clear aim with all the trees in the way. You'll need to lure it into an open spot before we get clearance to fire the missiles,"
he said.
"Affirmative. We'll try our best, but all this running's taken its toll."
"I see a clearing about half a mile in the direction you're running. If you can get to that, then I think we'll be able to get a clear shot."
"All right,"
I agreed, before explaining the situation to the others, who looked as though they were about to drop to the ground at any minute. I looked back and saw the outline of the creature squeezing through the trees.
"It's getting closer. We need to get to that clearing."
I slowed down to let the others get in front of me so I could keep an eye on them in case one of them succumbed to their exhaustion. Just as the creature were a dozen meters away, we finally made it to the clearing, where a river cut through the forest. We trudged through the torrents of water, which reached up to our waists, when the creature leapt out from behind the trees and closed in. The creature's height advantage meant it would easily traverse the river faster than us. We were too slow, and would be butchered. Shots echoed from the Apache before a hail of armor-piercing rounds cut through the giant body of the creature like hot knives going through butter. The Apaches hovered above the river on both sides before a storm of hellfire missiles struck their mark. Chunks of flesh and bone showered the area, some falling into the river, and a dark green liquid oozed out from the carcass of the beast, dissipating into the body of the clear water.
"For God's sake,"
Carl stated.
"That shit's going into the river."
I tapped the radio and called the British guy.
"HQ, come in."
"I'm here. What's up?"
he asked.
"We have a problem. The remains of that creature are contaminating the river. You're going to need to sort it out before it becomes a bigger problem."
"All right. I'll let the authorities know. Your evac's en route,"
he finished before the line went dead. Before we set off back to base, we were treated for minor injuries and were given a chance to rehydrate and dispel our hunger. The military rations sucked, but the pain in our stomachs caused us to silently eat what we were given without complaint. Jessica was flown to the nearest military hospital where she would be treated for her ears before they flew the rest of us back to the farmhouse. We happily removed our armor and were given the opportunity to shower up. The British guy had brought us some home-cooked food to eat before all of us, minus Jessica, sat around the table once more. The authorities are currently dealing with a contaminated river. It could potentially lead to the local wildlife mutating into creatures. Jessica's being treated. The doctors are saying she should make a full recovery within a month. The SDF sent a team to gather the samples from the creature's dead body. While scouring through the data he sent to us, they discovered an unknown agency was behind the illegal testing that was conducted on humans. We have reasons to believe that the formula is still in the hands of these inhuman bastards. We don't know who they are, but we do know they have a ton of funding behind them. The US government's tasked me with setting up a private military company to get to the bottom of this. I completely understand if you guys don't want to sign on, but the fate for the entire country depends on this. Can I count on you guys again in the future? We all nodded and agreed. That's great. There'll be plenty of opportunity to make more money. The man passed each of us a thick envelope full of cash. As promised, this is your pay. $50,000 each. We all looked at each other and smiled while opening the envelopes. There's nothing like a good payday, especially after the hell we had all been through. My men are ready to take you all home. I'll be in contact with all of you once we're all set up and ready to go. He finished before dismissing us. But before I could exit the room, he called me back. McCarthy, can I have a private word with you before you go? Yeah, sure. What's up? I asked. This unit I've been tasked with creating will work closely with the SDF. You have the most experience working with them. I want you to take command of the unit. Is that something you'd be interested in? Leading the unit will be more work. If the money's right, then I don't see a problem, I replied. I'll make sure you're looked after. Take care of yourself. He finished before letting me go. I bid the others farewell outside after we exchanged phone numbers to keep in contact with each other. I entered the black SUV before setting off for home. That's all I have for now. I will be in contact with you all very soon once I receive word back from the British guy. I still don't know his name, but I think it's better if it stays that way. I managed to get a hold of Jessica to make sure she's all right. She's made a full recovery and ended up with a decent paycheck. Take care of yourselves out there.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.